legislative leadership. And joining us, well, we'll start off this morning with Senator Julie Daniels. Frequently we start with the House, but nice to have you in here, Senator. You were absent with family last week.
I was, yes. I had my son fly into town. We had a nice long weekend, went to Norman to see the rest of the family. And anyway, we're back now, and let it be duly noted, the Senate is here first this morning. The representatives are following right behind me.
I understand they had a previous meeting.
We did. So this week in the Senate, let's see what went on. First of all, I had some STEM students from Bartlesville High School came to visit. There were middle school students there as well, but I had a nice chat with the people from David Ayer's classes. Had FFA leadership from OSU come to see us, and let's see, there was somebody else. Well, I can't remember that now. And we in the Senate are doing some unusual things this year. First of all, we passed the final bills to close out the fiscal year 17-18. So for the next 4 months, that is all said and done. And we voted money in the Senate to replenish the 1017 fund. There was a complicated formula that said it had been supplanted. The money hadn't been misspent, but a bit difficult to explain on radio. But we took care of that.
Parenthetically, for those who don't know the numbers, the 1017 fund is education funding that came out of House Bill 1017 back in 1990.
Some 25 years ago. That's correct. And then, of course, we have this unfortunate situation with the federal government and the state government on a waiver that was helping to fund medical school education in our state. And suddenly it became apparent after 2.5 years of warning the healthcare authority that this was going to happen, that all that is now in limbo. So we had to come up with the money to continue funding our medical schools, which, of course, is critical.
As I understand it, without those dollars, the schools were in jeopardy or would have lost their accreditation.
Correct. And so yesterday in the Senate, we voted $31 million and then another $110 million, which, of course, means that even though our economy is improving and we're climbing out of this difficult budget cycle, we just got a whammy that we could not anticipate.
That was part of the presentation Granger Mettermead made Wednesday night as he was rolling through the entire set of numbers. Okay. That presentation, by the way, is online, and his presentation links to the background data from whatever source he took his dollar.
Oh, good, good. And then in the Senate, most of the work this week, this was our final committee week to hear Senate bills, and because of the weather last week, we had to double up, so there were lots of committee meetings. We held two more budget hearings in the Senate for the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse and for the Healthcare Authority. And then the last 2 days, the Senate, which sits as a whole Appropriations Committee, did 4 hours of work on Wednesday and 5 hours of work yesterday, plowing through appropriations bills. It means any bill that could have a fiscal impact, whether it does or doesn't, in cash dollars right now, it could. And therefore, those all come from other committees into appropriations, and we slog through those. We take the title off of all of them, which means the verbiage that we're looking at may not be the final verbiage. And it gives us a chance to literally say, aye for now. I'm voting for your bill for now because the idea may have merit, but you better fix A, B, C, and D, or I will be against it when it comes to the floor. So it kind of gives the author a heads up. This one has a chance of gaining traction. And if you're interested in the bill, you know to go to that author and say, here are the problems I see in it. Could we work these things out? Or here's what I don't understand. It's a very good education for those of us who are fairly new to have to address every single bill that could have a fiscal impact. And well, and they covered a variety of topics over the last 2 days.
Yeah, and I think that's important. It's been a while since John Ford kind of did a little bit of primer on how, you know, once a bill is called dead in a committee, then unlike, say, the U.S. Senate, it can't be revived and brought back in some future form. So
that's correct. Yeah. You have to wait till the next 2 year session.
Right.
So a bill that dies this year could come back next year,
mm-hmm.
but a bill that dies in 2019 can't come back in 2020. So
right.
you have a chance in every 2 year cycle. Now, next week, I believe we will be hearing bills on the floor of the Senate. We'll spend more time in the chamber than we will in the meeting rooms. And I want to thank everybody who's been in touch with me on a variety of issues. in an overwhelming week like this, in terms of lots of time in committee, I don't get all the emails answered. I am the one who answers the emails. Now, if I know exactly how I'm going to vote on something, I'll tell Kathy. If they call, you can say, this is it and this is the reason why. But for the most part, I'm the one who communicates. So if you have not heard from me, it's because there literally was not time to sit and do that this week, maybe this weekend. And I see my fine colleague from the House here.
Just 30 seconds before we pass the microphone, I'm just curious, can you quantify, are you getting a good number of emails at this point in time, or are the constituents communicating you about topics of their choosing?
Oh, yes, yeah. And a wide variety. And, of course, one of the ways I know when a bill is coming up that's important to people is the email. The email is the first alert. There was a bill yesterday that we defeated in committee that would have greatly impaired the Economic Development Act, the tax increment financing program. And, of course, we've used that to great effect in Bartlesville. I was hearing from Guymon and Ada and Chickasha and Ardmore. I mean, they were all, and that's how I flagged that one, you know, to go and read carefully. And then, of course, I always call my city folks. If there's anything that I don't feel I understood that one. But still, if there's something I don't feel like I have expertise in, you know, fortunately in this Senate district, there are lots of people I can call who can give me one perspective to help me figure it out, and then I can go get the other perspective. Thank you for asking, Charlie.
Appreciate that. Also joining us this morning, Representative Dunlap, fresh from that meeting elsewhere. Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. And I actually have to bring a little bit of bad news. Representative Sears is not going to make it this morning. He's going to continue the meeting that we are having this morning. And so we slipped out, but he won't be able to slip out in time to be here this morning. So he sends his regards.
Well, I'm sure, since I unofficially know what that topic of the area meeting is, probably a good place for him to be.
All right. I think so, too. I will go ahead and start off by saying that it was a good week, another good week for the Bartlesville area in at the Capitol. I had visitors up in the Bartlesville, from the Bartlesville area, advocating for the STEM programs. I'm sure your listeners are well aware, but science, technology, engineering, and math. And so that was a lot of fun to have them up there. They spent time with me, and I know they spent time with the senator, and I hope they had a good time.
Right on the heels of the Phillips 66 Science Fair over the past weekend.
That's right. And then also, Dr. Everett Piper came, and he was the House chaplain for the day on Wednesday in the House.
That explains an email I got from the Democratic Party. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's interesting you bring it up. Of course, he always represents Bartlesville very well, and he did a wonderful job. But he did call us to task on something that I had also previously called our House members to task about, and that it regards a provision in our House rules about the topics and issues that pastors can address. I have long since thought that a man of God should be able to speak freely about what God has laid on his or her heart. And our rules give indication that they don't have that freedom. And I've been critical of that rule, and he called out the House on it. And so I appreciate his bold stance. And Bartlesville was well represented in that regard. He called us to an integrated view of the world in which our values have no barrier for living out in society. And so we live out our values in a government policy arena. We live out our values, of course, in our homes. We live out our value in our churches and in our schools. And that's very, very important. And I'm glad he was there to say it. But I'm not sure what the email said, but perhaps that email was a little bit critical of what Dr. Piper had to say.
I read the first couple of sentences and said this was not from a local email. I'll read the rest of it later. And
Very nice. Well, I wanted to talk about some things. I think there tends to be a lot of bad news, and some of the good news that is a part of state government is getting lost. And so I wanted to briefly cover the reason why Governor Fallon says that there's a budget cap again this next year. There's actually not one. You have to build in some assumptions to determine, based on her numbers, what the budget cap is, which is a very small number, less than 20 million or less than 30 million is the number that she reported. We actually have close to $1 billion in revenue over this past year. And you think, wow, that's really good news. That really, in the general revenue collections, that reflects quite an increase percentage-wise over previous years. And then keep in mind always that the legislature only has authority to spend less than half of what comes in of the taxpayers' money. Now, we can take authority in other areas, but previous programs that have been set up have been spending that money. We call it off-the-top money. Federal government calls that non-discretionary spending. So that's kind of where that's out.
I think both of them, when you put them together, actually defines what it is fairly well. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what the number that got eaten up, we made a large deposit from that increased revenues into the rainy day fund, Constitutional Reserve Fund. That's our state saving account that needs to be replenished because of the ways that we've spent that money in recent years. And so that was a very good deposit. It was a very large deposit. So that ate up a large portion of that increased revenue. We also continue the off-the-top programs that grew every year. Those off-the-top programs that grow every year include the benefits for our teachers. And so every year that's been growing at a rate of approximately 20 to 25 million. This year it was a $25 million price tag. That's the fastest growing government expenditure in our state and has been for quite some time. It's something that gets lost on people. In fact, healthcare as a whole is the fastest growing government expenditure in state government across the board. And so that has actually prevented us, in my view, from doing some things we've wanted to do with our discretionary money. Because it's all more of it has gone to non-discretionary money. And so that ate up a part of the surplus. And then in addition, the federal government pulled funding from two teaching hospitals in Oklahoma. And that added up to a very large number. We managed to use some available money to get that number a little bit down. But that number is still around $140 million. And I'm using round numbers. And so that ate up a portion of the increased revenues. And so when you add all of those little things up about what we had to do with the surplus, then we get to a balanced budget. We throw in a few more things that we want to do, and then we get reported from our governor that there was actually a little bit of a hole. Now, that hole is very, very small, but you have to know as a listener, increased revenues to the state are astronomically good news for the taxpayers of Oklahoma. And one of the things that I frequently talk about are the reform proposals that I'm so passionate about, and I'm very hopeful this year. And the senator may have already talked about this, but these reform ideas, none of them are dying right now in committee, which is very encouraging. I've been there. This is my fourth session, and so it's the first session I've been in where they just didn't die right away when our first deadlines came up.
Yes, may I speak to that? That's a very good point, Representative Dunlap. That's true over in the Senate as well. Yesterday, we passed out of this Appropriations Committee, again with the title off, so work in progress, reforms to the Zero Emission Tax Credit, the Railway Reconstruction Tax Credit, the Coal Tax Credit, and I can't remember some other reforms that were talked about. There was an actual measure that went out to reform how we spend some of the TSET money to direct it maybe less to smoking cessation and more to concrete health care related costs. In fact, I think that idea actually included using some of the money for the teaching hospitals. There's talk about taking land commission money and keeping it going to the schools, but maybe directing more of where some of it should go, maybe to the benefit of teachers. Not all of these things will make it to the finish line, but as the representative said, people are taking the reform ideas a lot more seriously now than they used to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I know you have busy schedules. I don't know if you're headed to another event later on today or not, but I'm sure there are plenty of calls for your attention while you're home.
Yes, there are. And we want to thank Phillips 66 again for sponsoring this. And yes, do reach out to us. I get back to people just as soon as I possibly can. But all in all, the economy's improving. That means it's good for the taxpayers because they have more money in their pocket. And when they have more money in their pocket, they spend it and send it to us. And all in all, it's a brighter day. It's never moving as fast as people would like it to, but it's certainly much better than we've been in the last decade.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And we'll hope to see Representative Sears next week. Thank you, both of you, for coming in. And we'll talk to you again next Friday morning on a Capitol Call on 1400 K1.
At Phillips 66, we think pride might look a lot like our newly upgraded stations. Okay, that's kind of a clunky